Hallelujah. Good morning. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Yep. Welcome once again. Welcome to your morning energizer. Welcome to the morning faith boost. I believe that you are in for a wonderful time. It's been amazing learning about the gift of eternal life. This is a precious gift of God, the transformative, recreative gift of God. This is the very life and the nature of God that He's shared with us by His love and His grace. It's just so amazing, so beautiful, so just super, super wonderful. And this is, you know, just really like glorious. Praise God. So we are on the fourth, third now, if you want to count Tuesday, Wednesday, and then today, Monday was still the gifts of God. Today, the gift of eternal life. So, I mean, we've had to look at a number of things about this, but quickly, why did Jesus come? Why did he come? All right. He came to take away our sins. He came to redeem mankind. Yes, yes, and yes. But clearly, all right, without a doubt, he said he came that you may have eternal life. All right. He said he came that you may have eternal life. All right. John 10:10, the thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Why is this super important? It's because in the beginning, which you remember, God told Adam, the day you eat of this tree, you will surely die. So Adam plunged the whole of humanity into death. Now, I need to explain to you that there are two forms of death, two kinds of death. We have the natural death, and then we have the spiritual death, all right? So God said to Adam, the day you eat of this tree, you will die. The day you eat of this, you will die. The day you eat of this, you will die. But hey, so Adam ate it, and then God showed up and asked Adam, where are you? And they had a solid conversation. God asked them to leave the garden, or well, drove them out of the garden. But then this man still existed for over 900 years. So you get to wonder, if God said the day you eat, you will die, how come Adam didn't die? Well, Adam did die, but just didn't die physically. All right. Death is cessation of life. Death is separation. All right. That is cessation. One ceases to exist in this particular sphere or realm. Death is a disconnect. So what happened to Adam was that his spirit was disconnected from its life source. Adam's spirit was disconnected from his life source. Adam's spirit was disconnected. So the whole of humanity was born in that disconnect. Death. All right. So it's because man was plunged into death that any other thing could take place. So you now better understand Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. All right. Romans 5:12. We've had to mention that and look at it a few times this week. Romans 5:12 says, through Adam, all right, through one man's offense, which is Adam, sin entered the world. Then death entered by sin. So death spread to all men because all have sinned. I'll take that again. Through one man's offense, sin entered the world. Death entered by sin. So death spread upon all men because all have sinned. So this death is spiritual death. All right? This death now is the mother death that gives birth to the physical death. That gives birth to hardship, that gives birth to evil. Where there is death, there are calamities. You understand that? Where there is death, evil finds expression. So Adam offended, sin entered, death entered through sin, that spread upon all men. And that's Romans chapter 5. All right. So you see that God needed to reverse the circle. God needed to reverse the curse. Remember in Genesis chapter 3, when God was speaking to Adam, he said to him, see, the ground is cursed for your sake. Oh, God didn't have to curse the ground. By death entering into the world, the ground was cursed. God was basically telling Adam the effect of what he has done. See what you have done. Look at what you have done. The ground is cursed because of you. This is the effect of it. The day you eat it, you will die. You remember in Romans chapter 8, Paul was saying that the whole world, the whole creation is groaning, waiting to be brought into the glorious liberty of the sons of God, because all of creation is subject to vanity. So creation is groaning. The animal kingdom, the earth's landscape is groaning. God didn't create the earth to spit out lava, you know, from volcanoes and destroy human beings. God didn't, you know, so the earth, you know what happened in Genesis 1. God was done and God said, this is good. Because people wonder, I mean, if God is running the world, he must be doing a horrible job. Things are out of order. Things are out of order. No, God gave the earth to Adam. So Adam, in disobeying God, Romans 5:12 again, you've got to understand that verse. Romans 5:12 again says, through Adam's offense, sin entered into the world. Death entered by sin. So death spread upon all men. But really, death spread upon the earth. So you now find wild animals. I mean, you know, creatures that Adam could roll with in the beginning. You find them now wanting to fight with man or devour man. That wasn't the plan in the beginning. Death spread upon all. So the reversal is life. Remember that Moses said to them, I place before you life and death. So God has had these options all the while. God has had these options from the beginning. The reversal of the curse of death is life. So that's why I like to teach that Christ didn't just come to redeem us from the curse of the law of Moses. Christ came to redeem us from the curse, the original, authentic curse that came in through Adam's offense. The earth was plunged into death. That is a curse. The reverse is the life of God. Hallelujah. You've got to understand this. Let me pick, you know, like three verses, you know, in the book of Romans, or maybe just two, so as to help you understand it. So still in that Romans chapter 5, please again, the 12th verse. All right. Romans 5:12 says, through one man's offense, death, like NLT makes it clear, when Adam sinned. All right. But I'm still, you know, picking from the King James. So through one man's offense, all right, sin entered the world, death by sin. So death spread upon all men, for all have sinned. Verse 14, I'll just speak three verses. Verse 14 says, nevertheless, the death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the type of Adam's sin or similitude there, King James puts it, who is the figure of him to come. So there was a covering in the time of Moses, which was the law, and he had promises, but he couldn't solve the problem eternally. So you see now in the 17th verse, for if by one man's offense, death reigned by one, so death became like king over the earth. Don't forget verse 12. Verse 12 again says, wherefore, as by one man's offense, or through one man's offense or sin, all right, through one man's offense, or as by one man, sin entered into the world, death entered by sin, death passed upon all men because all have sinned. So you got that? So the 17th verse says, if by one man's offense, or through that one man's offense, death reigned. So death started doing things like death was king. So as by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more, they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Christ Jesus. This is good news. This is beautiful news. Why? Because it's saying the way death reigned, much more than that. He didn't say Jesus will reign. It said the same way death reigned, much more, those who are recipients, all right, of the abundance of grace, of abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign. Where? In life. So the word life there is the Greek word zoe, which is the Greek word for eternal life. So we reign in life. Life is the antidote to death. So yes, we could apply that and say we reign in the sphere or in the realm of our earthly living and all of that. But our real realm is our location and position in Christ. Whether you live in Lagos or you live, you know, in California, all right? Wherever you might be physically, your core position is who you are in Christ. And John 5 and 24, which we looked at on Tuesday, says that we have passed from death into life. So we are inside of life. That means we are in that place where death no longer has dominion. We're in that place where death no longer has a say. We're in that place where death no longer has power or capacity over us. Why did Jesus come? He came that we may have life. He came to reverse the curse. He came to reverse the circle. So rather than death reigning now and things happening in our lives as a result of death, life now is at work in us. So life now ought to be finding more and more and more expression in our lives. So do you understand this? So Jesus made it clear, I have come that you may have life. I have come that you may have it much more abundantly, much more, as in much more abundantly. So it's interesting, all right? And I love something we read yesterday, and that's, you know, when John was telling us the reason why he wrote the gospel, which is John chapter 20 and verse 30 and 31. John said that many other signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, these ones are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life through his name. I am writing this to you so that you may believe, and believing you may have life. Believing, you may have life. Allow me read from John 11. In John 11, Jesus, all right, was told about the death of Lazarus. Well, sickness of Lazarus. And then he knew by the Spirit that Lazarus was dead. And then he, of course, got to Bethany where Lazarus and his sisters lived. And, okay, so where is he? Hey, if he had come here earlier, you know, he wouldn't have died. But I love a statement Jesus made in the 25th verse, all right, of John 11. Jesus said, all right, was talking to Martha, and he said in the 25th verse, I am the resurrection and I am the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. 26, whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He was about to raise someone up from the dead. He did eventually raise the person up from the dead without breaking a sweat. But he declared, I am the resurrection. I am the life. We looked at, you know, 1 John in the series already and saw that Jesus was referred to as that life. So what will life do? Life, listen, allow me say it this way. Life terrorizes death. Death fears life. It's like in John chapter 1. John 1 verse 4 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. Darkness is afraid of light. Light terrorizes darkness. Same way life terrorizes death. You know, people say, oh, Jesus wept, you know, which is the 35th verse of this same John 11. Oh, he wept. Oh, he must have cried because he loved Lazarus and Lazarus was dead. How could someone who has the antidote, right, be crying because he caught the virus? You know, he has the antidote. He could even chill and smile and laugh and play around a bit and until waiting for the person almost to die because he has the antidote to the virus in this example. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. So if you're listening to me this morning, whatever you might be going through, wherever you might be, if there's something that seems not to be working, something that seems like I think death is trying to find expression here, you have the life of God. It was made as a promise to you. Now it is your present possession. So we run to John 5, or at 1 John 5 rather. I'd mentioned that. In fact, we close with it. Yes, and I said, okay, so we're going to read it today. So 1 John in the 5th chapter, 1 John 5. Oh, hallelujah. This is good stuff. This is really good stuff, all right? So 1 John 5 from the 9th verse. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness. The word witness, there's also the word testimony. You know, people want to say, oh, I've got a testimony. I have something to say. I have something to say. But guys, God also has something to say. God has something to say. If we receive the witness or the testimony of man, the testimony of God, that, you know, what God has to say is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he testified of his son. 10 says, he that believes on the Son of God has the witness, the confirmation, the testimony in himself. He that believes not, all right, has made God to be a liar because he has not believed the record or the testimony that he gave of his son. 11 now says, this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his son. 12 emphatically states, he that has the son has life. He who does not have the son does not have life. He that has the son has life. Guys, not death. The curse has been reversed. Remember Ephesians chapter 2 from verse 1? It says, you has he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. So the whole of humanity not born again is still dead. They are dead in trespasses and sins. They are dead from that death from Adam. But Ephesians 2:1 says, you as he made alive, were spiritually alive. We now have the life and the very substance and the nature of God. In this life, death cannot find expression. You remember Colossians chapter 1? Colossians 1 makes it clear that you have been delivered from the power of darkness and you've been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Colossians 1:13. You've been delivered from the power of darkness. You've got to understand this because this is how you're going to fight the fight of faith. You've been delivered from the power of darkness. You've been delivered from death. You've been delivered from any form of death, any kind of death, any level. You've got to use this to fight the fight. And I've had to say, you know, twice now on this series, all right, be careful how you hear. So many things on social media. Things that could set up insecurity inside you. Things that could put fear inside you. Things that could put uncertainty inside you. Be careful how you hear. No matter what happens to someone, remind yourself, I have been delivered from the power of darkness. I have been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. I have been delivered. I have been translated. So this life of God is that death-defying, death-denying power. I'll say that again. The life of God is that death-defying, death-denying, death-defeating power of God. It's able to put a stop to anything death has to offer. John 10 says, a thief comes to steal, kill, destroy. I have come that you may have life. I mean, you travel, you know, in some parts of Western Nigeria, you see people put their goods along the road and they leave them out there at night. They go to bed, come back in the morning, and they do that trusting in one diabolical power. Trusting that nobody dares go to where my stuff is. Something horrible is going to happen. They trust in the power of death. We can trust in the power of life. Life is the it is the death-defying, death-denying, death-defeating power of God. It's able to reverse the curse. Remember what happened in, you know, under the leadership of Moses in the wilderness? They were going to get out of Egypt, and God said to them to go meet their Egyptian masters, all right, and receive from them, all right, borrow from them, all right, their golds and jewelries and all that. Bible says they plundered the Egyptians, all right, because by one supernatural, unexplainable favor, all right, you know, these folks just start handing over their jewelries. Because God had already told Abraham that your children will be slaves in a foreign land, all right, for 400 years, and I will deal with that nation, and they will not come out empty. God had said that to Abraham. So they were not going to come out empty. They had worked and they had to be paid. All right. They had worked for years and years and years. They had to be paid. So maybe you're listening and you feel cheated about something. Something, you know, is not going on the way you want. You know, you could put your foot down and say, no, I'm going to get paid. How you will get paid, God will sort it out. God would always sort it out. You will get paid. Put your foot down. I'm going to get paid. So you find that they were now in the wilderness carrying gold, all right, and silver and some other precious stuff. But there was no shopping mall. How are they going to get some clothes? How are they going to get some new shoes? And you know they were there for 40 years. Bible lets us know that they didn't need change of clothes because their clothes grew on them and never wore out. Their sandals grew with them and never wore out. Someone says, how? I mean, that is death defying. The life of God defies death. It says, death, you cannot work here. This is high level, guys. This is high level. I mean, if we think through what God did to them there, it means that the life of God is super strong to deal with wear and tear. Because that's what happened. There was no wear. There was no tear. For 40 straight years, this is at a high level. But that's why we have scriptures, to see the capacity of what God has made available for us. To see what this can do. So once again, we see Jesus in John 11 saying, I am the resurrection and the life. This gives you a picture. Sorry, what did you give me, sir? This thing called life, what is it? So if there won't be wear and tear in their clothes, I could use my faith against wear and tear in my body. If Jesus could resurrect Lazarus, then whatever part of you not functioning right can come alive again. Whatever thing around you not functioning well can come alive again. Because life carries the resurrection power. And that's what God has given to us. But once again, faith will come by hearing. Because we could have these things so much, but it could just be in that state of inertia, just inactive. And that's why we're learning what God has given to us. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus was speaking to the woman in John chapter 4. That woman at the well, yep. And of course, he said to her, lady, give me some drink. She's like, nah, you being a Jew shouldn't be asking me. Alright? Alright, it's just interesting. You know, she said, you know, you being a Jew shouldn't ask me a drink. You know, you guys don't talk to us. But I want you to note from the 10th verse, please. Jesus made a statement here that was solid. So John chapter 4 from verse 10. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God. Oh, dear Lord. I mean, imagine someone just sitting out there and just asking, could you just get me a cup of water? Like, sorry, who are you? I don't know you. I don't talk to strangers. Everybody says, if only you know what God has to offer you. I almost wonder, who does he think he is? Who do you think you are? Jesus said, if you knew, watch this, verse 10. Jesus said, oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. This is blessed. Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, give me drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. This is Jesus talking again about eternal life. This is Jesus talking to the woman about eternal life. If only you knew the gift of God. See how he puts it. If you knew the gift of God, and who is it that says to you, give me to drink, you would have asked him. He would have given you. It means this gift is available, it's free. You would have asked him, would have given you living water. And the woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and this well is deep. From whence, therefore, would you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it, you know, with his children and cattle? Oh, I love Jesus. See what he said in verse 13 and 14. Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. 14, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him shall be in him a well of water springing up to everlasting life. Hallelujah. Hey, the water that I give, NLT says, but those who drink the water that I will give will never be thirsty again. It will become a fresh bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. This is a miracle of God. This is a miracle of God. This is a miracle of God. How can a cup of water turn to a well of water? This is a miracle of God. Jesus said, if you drink my own water, it will become inside you a well. But I want you to notice this kind of well, because King James just says a well of water, all right? But don't miss the point in the King James. It says it will be in you a well of water. It now adds, springing up. We're going to close on this thought. A well of water springing up. Please note this. A well of water springing up. So two things are introduced here. It's a well, but spring. A well that springs. So this well, unlike the well Jesus and the woman sat by, or Jesus sat by and then the woman was beside him, unlike that well that needed a fetcher, this supernatural well doesn't need a fetcher. It springs up. Oh, glory to God. It springs up. Oh, the doctor says there's a lump somewhere in your breast or somewhere around your body. Oh, doctor says, oh, there's tumor. Oh, doctor says, oh, your ovaries, there's a problem. Oh, doctor says, some of your glands are not flowing properly, or you have an insulin issue, or whatever it is. You now, by being born again, you have a well inside you that springs up. This is not a well you go to fetch from. This one springs up. It means it flows automatically. It flows automatically. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I like the way the Message translation puts it. It says, the water I give will be an artesian spring within, gushing fountains of endless life. Hallelujah. And you need to understand, you could please Google the word artesian, all right? That is A-R-T-E-S-I-A-N, an artesian spring. It's a natural spring from the earth. And it gushes with energy. Oh, hallelujah. That means the life in you, the life in me flows 24/7. Whether we drink from it or not, this thing is flowing. What kind of life is it? It is resurrection power. It is death defying, death denying, death defeating the power of God. This life, this eternal life in you is the death defying, death denying, death defeating. It will defy death. Death says, hey, I'm going to take her away. It says, you cannot. I will defy you. I will deny you of your power, and I will defeat you. That is a resurrection power that Christ has given to us. I believe this blessed you. Oh my goodness. I believe this has really, really, really like blessed you. Please join me tomorrow. Tell someone about this. Someone needs to hear. Someone needs to say, oh, I don't have to miss this. All right, we're ending on this portion of eternal life, I believe, tomorrow. So next week we'll move to righteousness. So please, please join me tomorrow. Have a very, very, very beautiful day. And remember, you've got the death-defying, death-denying, death-defeating power of God. So the thief cannot steal, kill, or destroy from you anymore. All right? Have a beautiful day. See you tomorrow. Bye.